for the next 30 minutes, we have the privilege. It's my privilege. It's the same time next year appointment. About once a year, we visit on air together with the president and the chief executive officer of Deborah Heart and Lung Center. That is Mr. Joseph Chiaricella. And the president has held many, many positions over 40 years. That's 40. 40 years with Deborah Heart and Lung Center prior to advancing to his present role as president and chief executive officer, which he has been the president for 12 years. Mr. Chiaricella held various positions during his time at Deborah, including handling the day-to-day operations of the center as vice president of operations. He has served as an assistant administrator, director of materials management, administrative resident. He was, and I remember this vividly, the chief operating officer of the Deborah Hospital Foundation. More about that. We have a surprise coming up in a little bit. And he holds great credentials, MBA from Wagner College, BA from Villanova University. Among his achievements, he has played a pivotal role in developing several affiliations and joint ventures that we talk about all the time on the program. Back in 2019, for example, Deborah Heart and Lung Center became an affiliate of the Cleveland Clinic Heart, Vascular, and Thoracic Institute. Do some reading on this collaboration, also on the Cleveland Clinic. I know someone personally that has a situation that there's only about two places on the planet that would even attempt to do what needs to be done, and one of them is the Cleveland Clinic. It's truly beyond world class. And I could go on and on, recognized by periodicals like South Jersey Biz and many other key things that we could talk about, but he might get mad at me if I keep gushing over him. The topic is basically a wide-ranging discussion with the president, a number of questions, and let's welcome the president to the program. How are you, sir?
I am well, Mr. Hurley. Good morning. How are you?
I am well, too, sir. Great to be with you. Before we get into some of the pointed questions, obviously the past year and a half, 2 years with the COVID-19 pandemic, it's been a time of significant challenge for everyone. Give us your overall healthcare look back.
So it's been a fascinating experience, I think, for us all. You know, I think at least for the generations that, you know, we are among at the moment or in this time in history, I don't think this is anything we really expected to occur. But apparently Mother Nature has decided about every 100 years to bless the planet with some sort of pandemic.
Yep.
And we're in the midst of it. I have optimism, and I think people are pretty burned out, not just healthcare workers. I think everybody wants to be over this. Unfortunately, not everybody's doing what we need to be over it. I think we're not as well vaccinated a population as we need to be. We're not as well a mask wearing a population. And you know, there's varying opinions about the effectiveness of all that. But I do have optimism that we've gotten our arms around this, and whether we manage this as an endemic or it continues to be a pandemic remains to be seen, or just sort of starts to dissipate because there's enough antibodies in the population. It's really hard to predict. Again, I think we all realize you can get a lot of opinions on this, but it's been an interesting ride. You know, our the staff here were very committed. We never had to curtail services. They showed up. They worked double shifts. They worked extra shifts. Our whole management team took very little vacation time. Nobody worked remotely on my management team. Everybody was here every day they normally work. I didn't feel it was fair to the frontline workers to look over their shoulder and the whole management team wasn't there. Everybody was home in their bunker being safe when they were expected to go out and take care of patients. So we got great support for all that, and you know, we've gotten through it fairly well so far.
And I'm not saying this to be kind. That is what I call leadership, because that is such a good point that you make. Imagine you send the troops out there, but the generals are hiding, as you say, in their bunkers. Another thing that I have to really credit Deborah Heart and Lung Center, that you continued to provide full services, because as you know, in your industry and in many industries, people stop doing elective things, stop doing things that were not of a critical nature, let's say. People had surgeries postponed and procedures and so on. You never played your hand that way.
Yeah, and again, so you and I didn't get in trouble. There was about an eight-week period back in 2020 when the governor said we couldn't do elective procedures.
Well, that's understood. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So we only did what was called essential procedures. If patients presented and they needed a procedure now, we did it. So we were compliant, but you're right. Once that period was over, we went back to business as normal as much as we could.
I appreciate the amplification, the clarification, because on the larger point, it stands insofar as we know. And this is not, I don't lift you up by tearing anybody else down, but others made decisions and shut down for extended periods of time. As you know, Mr. President, we lost one third of all businesses basically in our state over the past 18 years. Months to 24 months. It's been a tough road.
Very traumatic, for sure.
Let's get into some of the key items for this half hour discussion. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to the always listenable Joseph Chiricella, the president and the chief executive officer of Deborah Heart and Lung Center. This is our monthly program, Deborah Heart and Lung Center Presents, that between the television version of the program and radio version, I've had the privilege to be the host for 30 years, which is really, I can't even believe the math. The collaborative venture that I mentioned during my intro, Mr. President, of you with regard to different healthcare organizations and such, talk about Deborah's decision, your decision as CEO, president, to form a relationship with the Cleveland Clinic. How important is this?
We thought it was an important step for Deborah. I'm not sure how well aware you are. I know you're very well schooled on Cleveland Clinic, but a little background on Cleveland Clinic. So for the last 27 years, they've been ranked number one in U.S. News and World Report for heart care. And I think they've achieved that. My understanding is they've achieved that based on quality, excellent outcomes, very safe care, and providing the most advanced diagnostics and therapeutics. When we were offered this opportunity to become an affiliate and ultimately an alliance member, and I'll explain what those mean in a minute, we realized that their philosophies align very well with what we were trying to achieve. So the way the process works is they come in, you pay them to come in and do an initial assessment of your organization. And they look at all the procedures you do, all the testing you do, all processes, how efficient you are, how high quality the care is, how safe the care is. And ultimately, if you meet a certain standard, then they offer you the opportunity to become an affiliate. And that is the initial level of engagement for non-Cleveland Clinic hospitals to align with the Cleveland Clinic. Subsequent to that, if you go after 6 months, which is the minimum period of time, an organization can advance from becoming an affiliate to an alliance member. We have the distinction, because of that initial assessment, of being offered we're the only affiliate that's ever been offered the opportunity to become an alliance partner. After 6 months and 1 day, we were offered that opportunity because they were so pleased with what they came and initially saw here, and how well aligned we were around quality, outcomes, and advancements in care. And really that additional, that advancement from affiliate to alliance member means we now do research with the Cleveland Clinic.
Wow.
We collaborate on research. So it was very sort of uplifting to get that sort of recognition from them. And we work on a weekly basis with the folks from Cleveland Clinic on a wide range of things. It's been a great relationship.
I'm going to risk becoming Captain Obvious here, but I think it's important for you to delve into it for your listeners to understand. How has this partnership benefited the community?
Well, I think it benefited them a number of ways. We've always been a very transparent organization. You know, we send our data wherever we're required to send it. We publish it. I know a lot of you hear nationwide, like around this whole transparency on the cost of care and patients being able to go on a website. You know, we put our data out there. A lot of hospitals decide to pay the penalty and hide their data. Well, that applies to our outcomes data. So, the public can go on our website. We publish an annual outcome report. It looks at all the major areas we provide care. It shows you our mortality, our morbidity, which obviously mortality, everybody knows what that is. Morbidity means you had the care, but perhaps It didn't go as well as it should have. It shows you our volume data. So Cleveland Clinic has done that for as far back as I can remember. We started doing it about 5 or 6 years ago. They vet our data. So what we publish has been reviewed by the Cleveland Clinic and deemed to be accurate. So that's one benefit to the public. They can see our outcomes and whether or not they want to consider coming to us for care. Most certainly, it has helped us bring more cutting-edge technology here. I mean, DeBora has always sort of been on the forefront. We were the first hospital in New Jersey to do cardiac surgery back in 1958 with Dr. Bailey, Charles Bailey. He was on the cover of Time magazine back then as a pioneering heart surgeon.
Wow.
And then subsequently, we've advanced since then. You know, we started off as a TB hospital and turned into a cardiac hospital in the 50s. And again, I talked about our research. You know, when you look at the major centers in the region and nationally, they're all very involved in research. It brings the best physicians in. It brings the best researchers in to advance care and treatment and diagnostics. So, you know, that all of that's available to the community as part of this relationship.
This is great content. We take one and only one break during DeBora Heart and Lung Center Presents. We're going to do that right now, back in just over 3 minutes, with the president and the chief executive officer of DeBora Heart and Lung Center, Joseph Ciricella. The topic is our open forum discussion, a wide open discussion on a variety of issues, and we have many more important content issues that we're going to be sharing in the final segment that is straight ahead in just a few minutes. Stay with us, Joseph Ciricella, yours truly, Hurley in the Morning on WPG Talk Radio 95.5. If you've missed any of this interview, right after we sign off at 10:06, you can download the podcast. It's right there for you on the WPG smartphone app, so you don't have to miss a minute of it. Much more important content straight ahead.
Download the WPG Talk Radio app for your iPhone or Droid and take South Jersey's talk station wherever you go. Get free, unlimited South Jersey news right at your fingertips. Listen to and easily call all of your favorite local and national talk shows. Wake up with Harry Hurley using the alarm clock feature and more. It's the WPG Talk Radio app for your iPhone or Droid. Download it now at WPGTalkRadio.com. WPG Talk Radio 95.5. For complete contest rules, visit WPGTalkRadio.com.
Thank you very much. Welcome back. 22 minutes past the hour with DeBora Heart and Lung Center Presents President and Chief Executive Officer Joseph Ciricella. Mr. President, I have a surprise for you that I didn't tip you off in advance. We do this every year. The Hurley in the Morning Charity is pleased to announce and to present you right now virtually, but I promise you that the envelope is addressed, the check is written. We are presenting you with a grant in the amount of $1,500 to help you continue to do the great work that the DeBora Hospital Foundation does, and I hope that does not displease you.
Not at all. Thank you, Harry. Made my day, made my week, my month, perhaps. That's awesome news. Thank you so much.
Well, we love to partner, and we know the great work that you do and how many people. We've had the people call in, actually, during the show, that lives that have been saved because of this program, where people heard your experts on air, and then they realize, hey, that's me. I'm suffering in silence here. I didn't even realize this is me. And DeBora has saved lives just from this program. And so we are happy, so happy to partner with you. So on to additional important content, because it's going to go quick from here. We've got about 12 minutes. Convenience has no doubt, as you know, as the leader, become a big factor for people when they're choosing healthcare services. What can you say relative, Mr. President, to how DeBora has worked on accessibility?
A few years back, we realized that the baby boomers and the generations beyond, the Gen Xers and the millennials, they want convenience. They want everything, so to speak, in a nanosecond. So we realized that coming to our campus in Browns Mills, unless you needed the big stuff done, like surgery, or you needed to go to the cath lab or EP lab, we opened up. Right now we have 7 physician offices in throughout the region. And subsequently, patients can get full-service cardiac and vascular care right in their backyard. It's convenient. We do all the testing in those offices, and they get timely feedback from the physician. And that's all very convenient. We're launching a new call center this year in 22, probably in a month or two. And subsequently that, we already have a pretty rich digital offering. This will mean that patients can call in, and again, they're not going to get transferred around. The agent that answers the phone will be either a clerical support person or an RN, and they can get a message to a physician. They can order a prescription renewal. They can schedule an appointment. They can get anything they need done with one phone call. And we're also launching new digital access tools for those that are very tech savvy. Again, you can make an appointment, cancel an appointment, get your list of your prescriptions, your test results, your medical records. So we're really trying to make it as convenient as possible. I think that's what consumers want.
Yeah, that portal is just so awesome. And for our listeners, demanddebora.org. So I would bookmark that, put it on your home screen and put it on your digital devices, in your electronic Rolodexes, demanddebora.org, to learn more information about things that you hear on the program, to schedule an appointment. It's very, very easy to navigate. It's well prompted, and you'll enjoy the experience. It's well put together. And they have offices in Burlington, Ocean, and Atlantic counties, as Mr. President was talking about. This also, I think, is an important thread of today's interview, Mr. President, and it's the word quality. We all think we know. You hear quality, and you just assume you know what that means. How important is quality in terms of, you know, how important a factor? We know in everyday speak, obviously, if you get quality meat, you expect that steak is going to be triple trimmed and it's going to be delicious and all of this. What does quality mean in the context of healthcare?
Well, you know, it really should be, from my perspective, the most important thing patients consider, especially when it comes to heart, lung, and vascular care. You know, there's several lenses that patients can use. Most certainly, you want to look at outcomes. As I said, we publish ours on our website. But you can go to CMS's website, LeapFrog, HealthGrades. There's a rich, rich set of data out there ranking hospitals. You know, we were blessed enough. We have an A ranking from LeapFrog. And we were named for 22 as a top teaching hospital, only one of 149 nationwide. You want to look at volume. If your doctor says you need a test or a procedure and that physician is going to personally perform it, you want to ask the doctor how many of those they've done this week and this month and this year. If you're not impressed with that number, you really need to think about finding a physician that does high volume, because those physicians usually have the most experience, the best outcomes, and subsequently the team around the doctor. A lot of these complex procedures, the doctor could have 2 to 20 people in the room with them. You want the whole team to be highly experienced. And the last place they can look is patient experience. You know, I talk to my staff all the time about how important it is to have a great patient experience. Let's be honest. If patients have good outcomes but a bad experience, the nurses weren't responsive, the physicians didn't communicate, the place wasn't clean, they're probably not coming back. And worse, they're going to tell 10 other people how bad the experience was. So the patient experience data, that's collected by the federal government. That's on CMS's website under HCAHPS. And that's an acronym for this data collection system the federal government has. And subsequently, patients have that all accessible to them.
You know, you packed a lot into that important answer. And when you mentioned LeapFrog, that's something we know a lot about on this program. We've spoken about that for many, many years, and very few ever receive the A rating. If anybody knew, in my old days, long ago, as a hotel executive, when mobile or AAA came in, very hard. They come in, the inspection is onerous. Easy for one thing to go wrong, and that's that. A rating out the window. The A rating is the gold standard. That's very, very just good work, Mr. President. And speaking about quality rank, the Society of Thoracic Surgeons, talk a little bit about that and what that is and what that ranking means.
So the Society of Thoracic Surgeons is a professional organization that the majority of the cardiac surgeons and thoracic surgeons in the country belong to. And we collect data and submit it to them, 300 data elements for every patient, and they rank all the programs that submit data. It goes to Duke University, who processes and normalizes the data for them. And you're ranked from 1 to 3 stars in each for bypass surgery, aortic valve surgery, mitral valve surgery, and then any combination. Sometimes patients have 1 or all 3 of those in the same surgery. And DeBora is 3, you know, the highest ranking you can get is 3 stars, and we are 3 stars in for every single cardiac surgery category that they rank. And that's the latest data. That's data right up till July 1st of 21. That's the latest available data. So the team here is doing really, really exceptional work. New Jersey Department of Health also publishes a cardiac report card around CABG surgery. The last one they published was in September of 21. We had the lowest mortality rate in the entire state, our 2 surgeons.
Wow.
And actually, one of the 2 surgeons was number one. He had 0 mortality in the year that they published for. So, so that STS is important. And again, we make our data public facing, so you can go on STS's website or our website and look at our outcomes. Not every hospital does that, but we're very transparent. We make it available.
DemandDeBora.org, DemandDeBora.org. This is a very important time, because of the construction project that is set to happen for DeBora Heart and Lung Center. Mr. President, what's happening? What's the background?
Well, so, you know, I tell everybody the 3 things patients want. They want a private room, they want great internet access, and they want to go home as quick as possible.
Yeah.
So we're able to achieve 2 of those 3 things before this construction project, because right now only about 1/3 of our rooms are private rooms. This is a $100 million building project that we are funding with both donations and some funding from the U.S. Department of Agriculture. When it's all said and done in about 3 years or so, we'll have a 100 private suite facility, which means every single patient will be in their own room. It's better for the patient. It's better for the staff. It's easier to control infections. And most certainly, I think the patients will think the experience is better, because in this day and age, people really don't want a stranger that they share a room with. It's understandable.
Yeah.
So we'll be able to achieve that goal once this project's complete.
Wow, that is something to really be looking forward to. Final question, and then we'll give you time for a closing comment as well. We're visiting with Joseph Chiricella, the president and the chief executive officer of DeBora Heart and Lung Center. This is our monthly program, DeBora Heart and Lung Center Presents, and typically month in, month out, it might be one of their surgeons, one of their professionals in the various areas that DeBora provides such excellence in service, and all those key stakeholders we present each month, and we have the privilege about once a year to have this visit with the president himself. This is big news. DeBora's 100th birthday. Big deal, huh?
Yes, it is. It really is an important milestone. You know, we started in 1922 as Tuberculosis Hospital. The woman that founded this place, Dora Manessa Shapiro, if you can Google it, no price on life. She realized that there were access issues, and that's a big deal now, right? Social disparities and access to health care. She realized that back in 1922. She started this organization, and it began from day one with the philosophy that we would not bill a patient. And subsequently, you know, the team and various teams, obviously I've been around for 100 years, have made sure we've stuck to her original philosophy about making sure everybody could get the care they need, regardless of what walk of life they come from, whatever their personal issues are. All you need to do is be medically appropriate for DeBora, and the doors are wide open. There's nothing else standing in the way. And when you leave, you don't go home worrying about going to the mailbox and finding these giant bills that then, you know, you're all stressed out about paying. It's just a wonderful vision she had, and we've been able to keep that alive for the last 100 years. So we're going to celebrate this year Again, if you go to our website, which you've pointed out a number of times, the schedule of events will slowly be unveiled there about the celebrations we're having in a very COVID-safe way. That's very important.
The 100 years also brings me back, as I was thinking about my introduction of you. You've been at Deborah for 40% of its entire existence. That's not a small comment that I'm making, and I'm not making it just a gush. The other thing that I appreciate in your position, and it isn't always this way, but it is in your case, you held a number of positions prior to the top position. And then let me ask you in a closing question, and then any comment you want to end with, the time is yours, Mr. President. I think that's a big strength when you come from within the ranks of an organization and you ascend to the top position, because nobody can say, this guy doesn't know what it's like, you know, doing this. You did positions before you were the president. I think that's a strength. And I wasn't expecting to call this out, but I just did. What are your comments to that point?
You know, that is really our DNA, this organization. You know, I came here as a student. I had excellent mentorship. I came from Bayonne, New Jersey. I was a city kid. I came to Browns Mills, New Jersey. When I arrived, I said, look, I'm out here 365 plus one day. I'm out of here. I'm going back to the city. I had excellent support, the nurses, the doctors, the administrators. I could take you around the hospital right now, Harry, and introduce you to 10 RNs that started their career at Deborah, either as service folks or in an office. And they used our tuition reimbursement program to advance themselves. And they're all RNs and nurse practitioners now, or respiratory therapists or lab techs. We're a tremendously rich organization for education and advancement. I'm a beneficiary of that, but I'm not the only one. So that really is our DNA. And that's really why I fell in love with this place. We have a very strong culture. We're very supportive of each other.
I do know that from personal experience, and I love that answer. I'm glad I posed the question because it gave you the opportunity to say what you just did. I know our time is up. I call it same time next year that we have the opportunity to have this wide-ranging discussion. Anything you would like to close with?
No, I'm looking forward to next year, and like I said, I'm very optimistic about the future, both for Deborah and getting through this pandemic. So, you know, I think we're on the right track, and I think we're going to get through this and get back to life. Whatever the new normal is, it's got to be better than what we've been through. So,
and by the way, without even talking to each other about our own sort of philosophy of governance on this issue, I speak the same comment that you talked about earlier in today's interview, Mr. President, with respect to going from pandemic to endemic. When we go from pandemic to endemic, and then this is managed, and we have these therapies and, you know, the vaccines, and I agree with all the things you said, relative, and the masks, all of it. When we go from pandemic to endemic, then there's no stopping us. We're back in business. But we're not out of business now.
Absolutely not.
Good to be with you, sir.
Same. Thank you. Be well.
You too.
And thank you again for the gift. It was a wonderful surprise.
That's my honor. I wanted to surprise you. Thank you, sir.